Good morning, church. So, children, right now you are not dismissed to head to Kids Church this morning because today will be a family worship, as Mike mentioned earlier. So we'll all be in here together. And parents, don't let that concern you. Don't worry about it. For one thing, I have an assignment for the kids that I'll give you kids here in just a minute during the sermon. But we love the chatter of the little ones, as you can see here. You know, we love kids here at Normandale. After all, Psalm 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So we don't mind a little bit of noise this morning, a little bit of chatter. I hope that you all had a wonderful day yesterday celebrating the birth of our King Jesus. I am J.T. Aldridge, in case you're not familiar with me. I'm one of the elders here at Normandale. And my full-time job, many of you know, is as an engineer, a professional engineer, building and designing roads and bridges all around Fort Worth. So today's passage that we're going to look at has always resonated with me because of my profession. So grab your copy of God's Word today and open up to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. So the passage that we are going to be looking at today is a parable or a story that Jesus told to his followers. And it's about two men, a wise builder and a foolish builder. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and I'm going to read down through verse 27. So here we go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So let's pray. Sovereign Lord, speak through your Holy Spirit to us today, and put into our hearts an attitude of obedience to your word. Amen. All right, children, here is your assignment. All right, you're listening up. I want you to build or draw a house. All right, so if you got the message and you brought some building supplies, some little toys, Legos or something you brought, you can build a house today. Or if you didn't get the message, no problem, you can draw a house. And if you didn't bring any drawing supplies, Mr. Jared, our children's pastor, back outside in front of the kids area, he has some drawing supplies out there for you. So pens or pencils and clipboards and some paper. So if you didn't get that, parents, go ahead, send your kids. You can go do it right now. Go get some stuff out there, or anytime you need to, go get something to draw on. So I want you to build a house or draw a house that you can actually bring up here to the front at the end of the sermon. All right, so you're going to have a chance to bring it up here at the front. So hang on to it, though, until the end of the sermon. All right, so hang on to it, and then at the end, I'll invite you up to bring whatever you built or drew, and you can bring it up here and show us. So I remember when I was a kid, I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I used to draw pictures of my house all the time, like where I grew up. So you can draw or build your house where you live today, or your dream home, whatever it is. Go ahead and work on that. So we'll follow up in about maybe 10 minutes or so when the sermon is over. So earlier I mentioned that I am an engineer, right? And so today's passage resonates with me because of my profession. So here is why. Jesus may have been a civil engineer instead of a carpenter. Yeah, so before you disagree with me, just think about it. Let me lead you through this just a little bit. So with his knowledge of the soils, Jesus was demonstrating a very basic understanding of the engineering principles, right? He knew that rock is a great foundation to build on, and he also knew that is sand. Well, sand doesn't stick together at all, so that's kind of a problem for building something on it. And he understood the soil properties, right, of compressibility and shear strength and density and all that stuff. You know what I mean. So I think based on that, I've got a pretty good case for Jesus being a civil engineer. Right, and if I don't have you convinced yet, one last thing is just think about it. Civil engineer and carpenter, they both start with a C. Yeah, so maybe the translation just got off just a tiny little bit, and maybe he was really a civil engineer. I don't know. Regardless, Jesus is using a common sense approach to teach us and his followers about his kingdom. All right, and so that's what this parable is. He's just using a common sense approach that people would understand and that we can understand about his kingdom to teach us something. So one common interpretation of this passage or this parable is that our lives are like the houses here, and that Jesus is the rock, you know, or a relationship with Jesus is the rock, and no relationship with Jesus, that's like the sand. And of course the rain and the wind, that's like the storms of life that we endure, right? And so that's a common interpretation. So the rock and the sand, they're often taught to be build your life on a relationship with Jesus. Well, I think this interpretation focuses a lot on the two builders, right? And the two guys, and the wise and the foolish, and the guys and what they build. And I think this is because of the heading that's in our Bible. And your Bible probably has this. Mine is called The Wise and Foolish Builders, right above this passage of Scripture. And some of the other Bibles, they might say The Two Foundations, or Build Your House on the Rock, right? So these headings, I think it's important to remember, these headings were not part of the original text of the Bible. So these headings were added later by translators when they translated the Bible like into English, and they added them to break the Bible up into bite-sized pieces so we can kind of understand it in smaller to digest pieces. And I think in this case that the heading is misleading. All right? So Jesus actually defines for us what the rock and the sand are. And when we look at verse 24, the very first part of verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. All right? Jesus wanted his hearers to put his words into practice. All right? Obedience to his teaching is the primary principle that we should understand about this parable. Obedience to his teaching. So that's the main point for today. So if you don't remember anything else, obedience to his teaching. That is what Jesus is telling his disciples, his followers. That's what he's telling us. That obedience to his teaching is what's important. Now, why is Jesus telling this parable at this point in Scripture? And this is where I'm going with, you know, if you could mark out all those little headings, what you would see, what you would find is that Jesus has just wrapped up his Sermon on the Mount. At this point, when I read this parable that we read, he's just wrapped up his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, up to this point, Jesus is teaching his Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching all of these principles, all of these ways for his followers and for us to live life. And we see that in verse 24. The very first word says, therefore. Right, so he's transitioning from all of the Sermon on the Mount that he's just taught, and he's saying, therefore, we need to put his words into practice. He's literally telling his followers that everyone who just heard his words will either put his words into practice or not put his words into practice. Now, I think it's kind of interesting that when we look at these two houses, that both of the houses experience the rain and the wind and the storms. And I think that we can understand that this is speaking to the fact that Jesus is telling us that whether we put his words into practice, whether we obey him, or whether we do not obey him, we should expect to experience the difficulties and the challenges and the disappointments in life. The rock in the parable represents a strengthened, wise life that is the result of obeying Jesus' teaching. Right? And when we are wise, we'll obey Jesus' teaching even more. Likewise, the sand in the parable represents a weakened, foolish life that's the result of disobedience to Jesus' teaching. So just listen to some of the commands that Jesus gives us in his Sermon on the Mount. I'm just going to read just real snippets that I underlined in my Bible. And this is definitely not all by any means, but I love some of these. So he says, rejoice and be glad. And this is upon being persecuted. So he tells us when we're being persecuted, rejoice and be glad. He says, let your light shine before men. He says, go and be reconciled to your brother. Settle matters quickly with your adversary. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Give to the one who asks you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Give to the needy. This then is how you should pray. So he teaches us how to pray. Forgive men when they sin against you. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do not worry about your life. Do not judge. And finally, I love this one, we all do. Do to others what you would have them do to you. So in his final words of this Sermon on the Mount, he tells this parable where he is calling us to obedience to his teaching, which leads to a strong, wise life. All right? But how can we put his words into practice if we're not familiar with his words, if we're not reading his words on a regular basis? So today I want to invite you to read through the Bible this next year with me. All right? So this past year, I've been loving my Bible reading plan that I've been going through, and it comes with a podcast that's a recap of the daily reading. And I've really been loving it. I've been blessed by this reading plan. So I'm going to kind of invite you and challenge you to join me. The reading through the Bible and listening to the podcast takes about 20 or 25 minutes every day. And we're going to put my phone number up here on the screen. Yeah, that's right. So one of my favorite things about this podcast that I listen to that recaps the daily Bible reading, one of my favorite things is the Daily God Shot. So every day they point out something about God's character that we read in the text that day. So I love that about it. And if you're ready, if you want to take me up on the challenge, you want to read the Bible with me this next year, the entire Bible in a year, there's my phone number. So text me or send me a message on Facebook or come find me afterward. I've actually got copies of the reading plan. I've got some up here. There's some on the table outside in the back. But we're going to start this on Saturday, right? January 1st, Saturday. So you can let this be maybe your first resolution for this next year, is to read through the Bible this next year. And so what I tell you is I guarantee you that when you read through the Bible and you read on a regular basis, you will learn more about God's character. And you'll learn more about his plan for our redemption. And these things will help you to put his words into practice all the more. All right, kids, how are those houses coming along? All right, it's time. I hope you wrap them up real quick and bring them up here to the front, all right? You bring your house. You can bring it and set it on the stage, right, over here on either side of the stage, or your drawing. And you can pick it up after the sermon. After the service is over today, you can come pick it up. And if you didn't draw or build anything, that's okay too. Come on up here and join me out on the stairs. We're going to have a brief little children's sermon. All right, so come have a seat up here with me on the steps. And we're going to have just a brief children's sermon here. Let me sit here. Let's see. Let me check out what we got. All right. Good, good. Oh, yeah. That looks kind of like a spaceship almost about to take off. Well, I like yours. It's tall. It's got a tower on it. Very nice. Very nice. Trying to rebuild yours. It already crashed and fell. Oh, nice. Very nice. I love it, Everett. Very good. All right. All right. So, yeah, everybody kind of gathering around. All right. So, I have a couple questions for you guys. All right. Who was listening today when we learned about the parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder? All right. Awesome. A few people listening. Very good. Very nice. All right. So, here's a question for you. Where did the wise man build his house? Shout it out. On the rock. All right. Where did the foolish man build his house? On the sand. Yeah, all right. So, whose words should we be listening to, or should we be hearing? Like the wise man. Who told us about the wise man? God, JT, Mr. JT, well, I just read it. God wrote the Bible. All right, there you go. That's what we're looking for. Oh, y'all are so smart. All right, so Jesus, right? We should be hearing Jesus' words. And whose words should we be obeying? God's words, right? Jesus' words in the Bible. That's whose words we should be obeying. Yeah, absolutely. All right, good job. So listen. Today, during lunch, I want you to tell your parents what you learned about today because they probably weren't listening today. So just between us, they probably weren't listening. So, all right, you guys can head back to your seats. You can take your house or drawing with you, or you can leave it if you want to display it on the stage. You're welcome to leave it. Oh, yeah, we got a few for display up here, so you can come check these out after the service. All right, so as we're wrapping up today, here's how I want to kind of finish up. So in verse 27 of this passage that we read today, Jesus told us that his desire for us is to not be fools, right? Is to not have our lives crash and fall. So in his goodness, he knew that we were destined to end in this way, right? To crash and fall. So instead, he came for us to rescue us. He gave us his words to make us wise for salvation, to give us a strong footing, a strengthened life. Just a few verses before this parable, he told us to enter through the narrow gate. He says, the wide gate is destruction, but the narrow gate is life. And what he meant by this is that he is the narrow gate. That all who desire salvation must come to him. And we must come to him through belief in his death and resurrection and submission to him as our Lord. So as the band comes up this morning, here's how you can respond today. So for believers, repent of ways that we have not been obedient to Jesus' words, ways that we have not put Jesus' words into practice. Repent of not knowing the word because of a lack of reading it. And if you have not trusted in Jesus, you can respond today with repentance and faith. Repentance is simply turning away from our sin, and faith is putting our hope in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. So I'm going to give you a minute to respond while the band plays. If we can get the band playing some music. I'm going to give you a minute to respond quietly. And then I'm going to close this in prayer. And then I'll be right down here down front if you want to talk through any response or any decision that you might have made this morning. I'll be down here to talk to you or pray with you as you would have it. So let's respond now.